This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه الطاهرين ما دام ما في السماوات والأرضين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته الحمد لله All thanks and praise due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his many blessings that he has bestowed upon us. We beseech Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase us in those blessings. One of the great blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that He has afforded you and me the opportunity to come together to a gathering of learning and teaching whereby we acquire such knowledge that will guide us to and guide us along the straight path. One of the primary purposes, or rather the primary purpose of our existence on the face of the earth is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala requires a know-how. How do we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So with that in mind, we are reading through Ba'fadl's The Short Abridgment. We have covered quite a few chapters or sub-chapters in Kitab al-Tahara. Today we continue with lesson number 9. And lesson number 9 relates to conditions relating to Tahara. Or if you wanted to simplify that, it would translate as Shurut al-Tahara. Conditions of Tahara. So very quickly, bi-idhnillah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without being hasty, bi-idhnillah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our class today had unfortunately started a little bit late. So we have all of 30 minutes, bi-idhnillah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to work through today's lesson. We will work through it as diligently as possible. The first issue which we are looking at, the Arabic terminology reads, shurutu tahara. The condition of Tahara. So the first thing we're going to familiarize ourselves would be the term shurut. What is meant by shart? Shart translates as condition, but the Arabic term shart, what does it refer to? What does it mean? So there's a literal meaning to the word shart, and then there is a technical meaning which is relevant to our discussion. So let's look through the literal meaning first. The literal meaning reads as follows. It reads as ta'liqu amrin bi amrin. كل منهما يقع في المستقبل. What happens in terms of شرط? شرط, I stipulate a condition. What does it mean? تعليق أمر بأمر. It is pending a matter on another matter. كل منهما, both these matters, the condition and the phenomenon pending on the condition, يقع في المستقبل, both is going to occur in the future. If you visit me, I will honor you. That is a condition literally. So if you visit me, you're visiting me is a future event. I will honor you. That's also a future event. So condition refers to pending one thing upon another thing, and both are going to happen in the future. More importantly, what is the technical meaning of the concept shart? Technically, it refers to ما يلزم من عدمه العدم ولا يلزم من وجوده وجود ولا عدم. What does it refer to? ما يلزم من عدم العدم. A shart is referred to such a phenomenon that its non-existence necessitates the non-existence of the other item. Let's think about an example. The theory might derail us. Let's look at an example. An example of a shart would be al-wudu lis-salah. In Arabic terms, we would refer to as wudu as a shart for salah. What does it mean? It means yalzamu min adamihi. When you don't have wudu al-adam, it necessitates the non-existence of salah. In other words, your salah is not going to be valid without the wudu. But at the same time also, la yalzamu min wujudi la wujudun wa la adam. But the fact that the person has wudu, does it necessitate a salah? Not necessarily. It doesn't have an impact in terms of necessitating the prayer or not. However, when it is found lacking, a condition, a shart, is defined as that. When it is found lacking, for example, like wudu, then the mashroot, that which is it is stipulated for, that will also be found lacking. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. So that is the meaning of the term shart and shurut. Now we get into the text in terms of reading the Mukhtasar al-Latif, the short abridgment. It reads as follows: وشروط الطهارة عن الحدث الأصغر والأكبر. The conditions of purification. In other words, if you purify yourself for prayer or whatever other reason, there are certain conditions that need to be met. وشروط الطهارة, the conditions of طهارة. So in light of our explanation that we gave a moment ago, the conditions of طهارة. If these conditions are not met, then the طهارة is not considered to be valid. When the conditions are met, and then the طهارة is considered to be valid. So شروط الطهارة, the conditions of طهارة, عن الحدث الأصغر والأكبر, whether we refer to wudu or whether we referring to the ghusl. What are the conditions? The first two conditions reads as follows: Al-Islam, the person needs to be a Muslim. Wat-tamhiz, the person needs to have a discerning ability, not necessarily an adult, but a minor, but a discerning minor. So a non-discerning minor, that person's tahara is not valid. So if a baby of 3 years old, who's considered to be a non-discerning minor, that baby performs wudu, is that wudu valid? No. Why? Because one of the conditions of a valid tahara is not to be found. And what is that? That the person performing this act of worship should have discerning ability. So who is excluded by the above conditions? Number one, Al-Kafir wa ghayrul mumayyiz. Number two. Number one is a non-Muslim. And number two is a non-discerning minor, as I gave you the example a moment ago. Why not? What is the reasoning behind that? The reasoning reads as follows: لِأَنَّ الطَّهَارَ عَنِ الْحَدَثْ وَأَنِ الْحَدَثْ وَإِزَالَةُ النَّجَاسَةِ. لِأَنَّ الطَّهَارَ, because purifying would be عِبَادَتَانْ مُتَفَرِّقَتَانِ إِلَى نِيَّةٍ وَلَيْسَ مِنْ أَهْلِهَا. Because when we look at tahara, it is an act of worship which requires an intention. A non-Muslim doesn't have the capacity to make an intention, and neither does a non-discerning minor have the capacity to make an intention, and therefore their tahara would not be valid. There are exceptions to the rule, and these exceptions have been mentioned previously. What are the exceptions? Number one, صِحَّةُ غُسْلِ الْكَافِرَةِ مِنْ حَيْذِهَا لِتَحِلَّ لِحَلِيلِ الْمُسْلِمِ. A Muslim person is married to a non-Muslim. A person of the book, people of the book, a lady, is married to a Jewess, by way of example, or is married to a Christian. She goes into a state of haid. A haid comes to an end. She needs to perform a purificatory bath. She's a non-Muslim, but in this particular instance, it would be valid. Number two is, we looked at the issue of a غير مميز, a small child, 5 years of age, goes with his mother and they perform Umrah, or goes with his father or parents and they perform Umrah. Now, the child wants to make tawaf. So the child requires wudu in order to make tawaf. That wudu is considered to be valid. It removes the state of hadith al-asghar. It is considered to be valid despite the fact that here we have a non-discerning minor, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Let's look through the next condition. So the first condition was Islam and tamhiz. That's number one and number two. Number three would be وَالْمَاءُ الطَّاهِرُ الْمُطَاهِرُ. What are one of the conditions in order for your purification to be valid? It says وَالْمَاءُ, the water that you are using to purify yourself or to remove impurities, it needs to be pure in and of itself, الْمُطَاهِرُ, and it must have the capacity to purify, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Here, in terms of the bayan, not the bayan wa ta'rif, it is the bayan wa ta'rif, yes. In terms of the explanatory notes of the Mukhtasar al-Latif, in the form of al-bayan wa ta'rif, they give the following added conditions as shurut, as conditions for the validity of your tahara. Number one, al-naqaw anil hayd wa nifas. These are very important, I feel, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Number one, it gives us a very good working and practical understanding in terms of tahara. So the condition mentioned here would be an-naqa anil hayd wa nifas. A lady in this particular instance, she needs to be free from hayd and she needs to be free from nifas. Hayd, menses. And nifas would refer to postpartum bleeding or postnatal bleeding. So in other words, if a lady is in a state of hayd or a lady is in a state of nifas and she makes tahara, that tahara will not be valid. Why? Because one of the conditions of tahara are not found. And what is that condition? The condition of tahara is that a lady should not be in a state of hayd or nifas. The next one would be an-naqa amma yamna'u usul al-ma' ila al-bashara. In order for your tahara to be valid, you want to perform wudu. An added condition is an-naqa, a person should be free from that which prevents the water from reaching the skin. So if you have glue on your hand, by way of example, and you go perform wudu, your wudu is not going to be valid. Why? Because one of the conditions are found wanting. And what is the condition? That your skin must be free from any such film, any such material that prevents the water from reaching the skin. Number three, أَلَّا يَكُونَ عَلَى الْعُظْمِ مَا يُغَيِّرُ الْمَا تَغَيِّرًا يَسْلُبُ إِسْمَهُ. That there may not be a barrier between your skin and the water. In other words, you're going to pour water on your skin. There might not be a barrier in the term of a solid film like a sellotape or some other material, but there is cream by way of example, and the cream is plastered so thick that when the water mixes up with the cream that you have on your skin, then you can clearly see in certain instances that before the water actually interacts with the skin, it has changed it now. It becomes creamy water. So that's another condition. أَلَّا يَعْتَقِدْ فَرْضًا مُعَيَّنًا مِنْ فُرُوضِهِمَا سُنَّةً. A person should not consider one of the conditions in order for the tahara to be valid would be that a person should not be considering a specific obligatory act of the tahara as a sunnah, and Allah SWT knows best. The next condition says إِزَالَةُ النَّجَاسَةِ الْعَيْنِيَّةِ الَّتِي لَمْ تَزَلْ أَوْصَافُهَا بِالْغَسْلَةِ الْوَاحِدَةِ فَإِنْ زَالَتْ بِهَا كَفَتْ عَنِ الْحَدَثِ وَالْخَبَثِ. One should izala, a condition is that a person should remove any physical impurity from the skin, unless it is in such a condition that when you wash it in one way, then it is removed in such a manner that it's so minuscule that the one action can serve as both the removal of the impurity and wudu at the same time. And Allah SWT knows best. جَلُّ الْمَاءَ عَلَى جَمِيعِ الْعُضْوِ. I'm just going to read the previous one again to make it abundantly clear بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. إِزَالَةُ النَّجَاسَةِ الْعَيْنِيَّةِ, the removal of a corporeal, الَّتِي لَمْ تَزَلْ, which its qualities بِالْغَسْلَةِ الْوَاحِدَةِ لَمْ تَزَلْ, that its qualities remain when you wash it once. However, if its qualities doesn't remain when you're washing it once, then it's not necessary to remove it all beforehand, and Allah SWT knows best. The next condition would be, in order for your purification to be valid, would be جَرُّ الْمَاءَ عَلَى جَمِيعِ الْعُضْوِ, that water has to pass over the entire organ. تَحَقُّقُ الْمُقْتَضِي. One other condition, and this could happen quite often, is that a person must be sure as regards to that which necessitated the wudu. So for example, I doubt now whether I broke my wudu or not. So in other words, I'm not certain whether I broke my wudu or not. The next would be دوام النية حكماً. You must maintain the intention throughout. عدم تعليقها. A person should not have a pending intention. نَوَيْتُ الْهُذُوءِ إِنْشَاءَ. I intend to perform wudu if Allah SWT so wishes. دُخُولُ الْوَقْتِ وَالْمُوَالَةِ لِدَائِمِ الْحَدَثِ. Here we have a particular person suffering from incontinence. In relation to that particular person, we are saying that there are certain added conditions in order for his tahara to be valid. What are those added conditions? دُخُولُ الْوَقْتِ, the time should have entered. وَالْمُوَالَةِ, and also there needs to be continuity in terms of the act, whether it be wudu, whether it be a ghusl that the person is performing, and Allah SWT knows best. We go to the next part of the text. The next part of the text reads as follows: فَلَا يَصِحُّ رَفْعُ الْحَدَثِ وَلَا إِزَالَةُ النَّجَاسَةِ إِلَّا بِالْمَاءِ الْمُطْلَقِ. So, in between, the explanatory notes gave us a number of other conditions which we went through, alhamdulillah, in order to give us a greater appreciation in terms of the conditions, and it listed everyday cases that you may find yourself in, and you perhaps engaging in tahara whilst not knowing or not realizing that one of the conditions are actually being compromised. But now we go back to the cortex, and the cortex spoke about three conditions. The first condition was that in order for your tahara to be valid, you must be a Muslim. Number two is you must be at the very least a discerning minor. The third condition would be you must be using ma mutlaq. You must use ma mutlaq. You must use water. And we're going to explain in a moment, bi-idhnillah subhanahu wa ta'ala, exactly what we mean by al-ma al-mutlaq, unrestricted water. فَلَا يَصِحُ. So both on the third condition, لَا يَصِحُ, is not valid, رَفْءُ الْحَدَثِ, removing this abstract impurity, like you pass a wind, and now you need to perform wudu. So now you want to remove that abstract impurity. وَلَا إِزَالَةُ النَّجَاسَةِ, and neither the removal of a real impurity, a physical impurity, إِلَّا, except. So it's not valid except بِالْمَا الْمُطْلَقِ, except with what we refer to as ma mutlaq. And the definition of ma mutlaq, inshallah, will come in terms of the explanatory notes. And what is ma mutlaq? They give examples now, not a definition, but they give examples of what we would consider as ma mutlaq. In other words, what are the sources of ma mutlaq? وَهُوَ مَا نَزَلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. It is that which comes either from the skies above, أو نبأ من الأرض, or which comes from the earth. So the sources of water are two. They're either coming from above or they're coming from the earth. Okay. Proof that water must be used. What is the proof? In terms of removing impurities and in terms of hadith. So we're going to produce proofs for both of them. So we're making a claim. The claim is that you must use ma mutlaq in order to remove a hadith on the one hand, like in wudu, and you must use ma mutlaq in terms of removing a najasa. What is the proof for that? So the proof in terms of removing impurities is very simple. There's a narration, that a very famous narration, that a Bedouin came into the mosque and he went into the one corner and he passed water, he urinated. Then the companions got hold of him. The Prophet ﷺ says, da'uhu, that leave him. But what you must do in terms of the urine that was passed there, hariqu ala bawlihi sijlam min al-ma, and throw some water over, like pour some water over the impurity. In other words, so there the Prophet ﷺ is talking to removing an impurity. What does he use? He uses ma. In other words, ma mutlaq, unrestricted water. Or according to another narration, he says, dhanuban min ma, a little bit of water, pail, take a pail of water and throw it over there. What is the proof that you need ma mutlaq in order to remove a hadith that comes in the Quran? Falam tajidu ma'an. And Allah says, you want to fulfill the condition of praying, so you need to perform wudu. فَلَمْ تَجِدُ مَأَنْ, and you don't find water. And only when you don't find water, then you can use pure earth and clay and soil. Otherwise, you must use ma. It clearly establishes that ma mutlaq needs to be used in order to remove a state of hadith, and Allah SWT knows best. Now we're going into very, very quickly, we had spoke about the sources of water. So now we're going to elucidate a bit of that. What is the source of water? It comes from one of two sources, from the skies or from the earth. When we look at water that comes from the skies, we can now make a list. The list here reads three. Rain comes from the skies, ice and snow. From the earth, so water comes from above or comes from below. From the earth, sea water, river water, well, and spring water. All of these would be sources of ma mutlaq. But now the important point is, what is meant by ma mutlaq? Ma mutlaq, according to our scholars, they say very clearly, وَمَا يُسَمَّى مَاءً, it is that which is referred to as water, بِلَا قَيْد, without any restrictions, without any necessary restriction. So an unnecessary restriction would be, I say, give me some cold water. Cold water, cold as a restriction, it's not necessary. I could refer to the same cold water just as water, I would still be correct in saying so. So whatever can be referred to as water without a restriction, without a necessary restriction, عند العالم, obviously by a learned person, then that would be referred to as ma mutlaq, as unrestricted water, and that type of water can be used for purificatory purposes, to remove a hadith or to remove a real impurity, and Allah SWT knows best. Now we go into the types of water. So the conditions of tahara are three. You must be a Muslim, you must be of discerning ability, and the water that you are using must be ma mutlaq. We looked at the definition of that. We looked at the sources from where do you get ma mutlaq, from above or from below. Now we're going to look at the three types of water. In any given situation, when you find yourself in front of water, ma liquid, let's call it liquid if you wanted to. That's maybe an easier way to look at it, and Allah SWT knows best. Liquid or water, there are three types of liquid. Number one is al-ma'ul mutlaq. and we explain what that is. Any liquid that you can refer to unrestrictedly as ma, as water, that is referred to as ma mutlaq. Now, ma mutlaq is divided into two categories. We're looking in terms of its usage. You now want to use ma mutlaq for purificatory purposes. We're saying that's completely valid, no problem, no questions asked. You can use it for wudu, you can use it to remove an impurity. But on the one hand, you find the ma mutlaq, which is makruh, and on the other side, you find ma mutlaq, which is not makruh. The ma mutlaq, which is makruh, would be water heated by the sun, extremely hot or cold water, water sourced from earth upon which the anger of Allah SWT has descended. So that is ma mutlaq, no question about it, but it is makruh for you to use it. On the other hand, we find ma mutlaq, it's unrestricted water, but it's not makruh. Whatever hasn't fallen into the first category will fall into the second category, and Allah SWT knows best. There are three types of water. We're going to continue with that particular discussion, bi-idhnillah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are three types of water. What are they? Al-ma'u al-tahir ghayru al-mutahhir. The second type of water would be water which is pure in and of itself. In other words, if a droplet of such water falls on you, then it's not going to sully your clothing. It is not considered to be impure. However, ghayru al-mutahhir, it doesn't have the capacity to purify. So it's pure in and of itself, but doesn't have the capacity to purify. Wa huwa al-tahir fi nafsi ghayru al-mutahhir li ghayrihi. That's again the explanation given, and I can repeat it, bi-idhnillah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Repetition is beneficial for a believer. Wa huwa al-tahir fi nafsihi, it is pure in itself, غير المطهر لغيره. However, it doesn't purify other water. Not doesn't purify other water. Wa al-tahir fi nafsihi, it is pure in and of itself, غير المطهر لغيره. It doesn't have the capacity to purify something else. In other words, you can't use it for izalatul najasa, and you can't use it for the removal of any hadath. Okay, this second category, water which is pure but unable to purify, falls into two subcategories. What are those two subcategories? The one would be used water. So if I used water to remove a hadath or a najasa, I use that particular water. That water, like when you go to the toilet and you've relieved yourself, and that water which remains. So that water which remains was used for the removal of a hadith. What's the ruling of that water? It is pure in and of itself, but doesn't have the ability to purify something else. On the other hand, we have changed water. Water that has changed. It is referred to as al-ma'ul mutaghayyir, water that has changed. Now, water that has changed, considerably due to coming into contact with a pure substance which is possible to steer clear of, and the details of it will come bi-idhnillah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So changed water, I have water, I take salt for example, and I pour the salt into the water. As a result of the water coming into contact with the salt, it is now changed. It is still pure salt water. If I pour it over my clothing, I can still pray in that particular water, but the water has changed. It is tired in and of itself, but it cannot purify, and Allah SWT knows best. The last type of water here would be al-ma'ul mutanajjisu, which would be completely impure water, and the details of that is coming soon. Not coming soon in this particular lesson, it is going to come soon in a forthcoming lesson altogether, bi-idhnillah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm going to conclude our class on this particular note, bi-idhnillah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is really a half hour lesson. So how we're going to construct this lesson is that all our lessons which happen live, I have another recording where the entire lesson is recorded and it's uploaded onto the Seekers website where you can access the entire lesson. So consider this week's lesson as a preview to the entire lesson, which you can access inshallah bi-idhnillah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Seekers website under this particular lesson bi-idhnillah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The full recording of the entire lesson will be over there. Our time has, however, come to an end. We hope to meet you, inshallah, bi-idhnillah subhanahu wa ta'ala, next week. Same time, same place, bi-idhnillah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I'm praying by then that you would have accessed the entire recording and listened to the entire lesson. Our next lesson will be on lesson 10, come next week and Tuesday. Barakallahu feekum jami'an. And thank you again for the opportunity. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.